You're listening to a sermon from Christian Life, the Island Church, in Orange Beach, Alabama. For more information, visit christianlifechurch.tv.
Liz is reading ESV. It's what I preach out of most of the time. And I'm going to read verses 1 to verse 20. You know, I think it's only right that we read the Christmas story. We do it as a family. I know you do. We encourage you to, but that we read it as a church family. And then, in just a few moments, we're going to gather at the Lord's table, and it's His table. And we're his children. We're the family of God. And just like this evening, tomorrow, you'll have Christmas dinner together. We gather at the Lord's table as family to partake and to remember all the Lord has done for us. And I think these are good Christmas traditions. And traditions, you know, we seems like we fight those, but how many know there's some good traditions that we have? Amen. I've loved everything that that the Island Church has adopted as traditions. This year, starting a new one with the Voices of Mobile. We started another new one with Worship Night at the Hangout. Is that not cool? And then, of course, our kids sing every year, and it's a powerful moment. Christmas messages that we just talk and talk and talk about the incarnation and the virgin birth, and we have wonderful times celebrating together with a live nativity and camel rides and just the lights. And this year we got lights outside. Thank you, Liz, for the vision, and Daniel for knowing how to get them all put up, and those LED lights are awesome. And before long, we'll be rivaling the wharf with the light show. Who knows? I enjoy all of these things. And one more time, I just want to talk about the story of Christmas. I completely changed the direction that I planned on going this afternoon, and God really touched my heart with a couple thoughts that I had never seen before. I'm sure others have, but I hadn't grabbed a hold of that. And let me encourage you this. Soak in this moment. Soak in tonight. Enjoy your family. Enjoy the festivities, all that happens. Because I was talking to Pastor Philip this afternoon. And I said, it's just going to be a few hours and we're going to be hauling the trash to the curb. And it'll all be over. And so soak it all in. Think with me about this. Jesus' birth was not in a hospital or a comfortable home or the home of a friend or a relative or under a doctor's care or even under the stars of heaven, not even out in an open area, but it was in a smelly stable. The lowest imaginable place for a birth. Unsanitary. Jesus was born into a corruptible world, full of sin and full of selfishness, full of greed and full of unkindness. It's seen in the world. The innkeeper represents the world. And the innkeeper was so wrapped up in his own affairs that he could not help a woman bearing a child. No one would make room for Mary in the inn. Money and personal comfort were more important to all who had become aware of the situation. That was the stable. Now think with me about the shepherds. The shepherds were the most unlikely to hear the angels declare the glories of God. But they received the unbelievable appearance of angels. Shepherds were seldom found in places of worship, praising or worshiping God, their reputation was lowly at best, and the religious people snubbed and ignored them. They were despised. They were unable to attend services because they could not keep the ceremonial laws of washing and cleansing. And the thought came to me again, unsanitary. And here, this Holy One, sent from heaven, is born in a filthy place, and the proclamation is made to filthy men. And I thought, that is so awesome. That's absolutely amazing. Jesus came to the lowly and to the common. We tend to glamorize the stable. The stable wasn't glamorous. It was filled with germs. It was filthy, smelly. The shepherds were people that were not welcomed or wanted. And yet, the King of Glory appears and is made known through such a way. The Bible says the good news of great joy to all people. Everybody say all. You know, we say that, but I think sometimes we have a hard time believing that. And here's what rocked my world this afternoon. As I was writing this down, I thought, oh my goodness, you gave me a perfect picture. I've never seen it. Thank you for letting me see it, Lord. We say the gospel is for everyone, and right in the very foundation of it all, this good news for all people is illustrated in a stable and with shepherds. Literally. Can I just remind you, this gospel is literally for all people. Amen. That's good news. Because most of us aren't wealthy enough. Most of us aren't good enough, clean enough. We all know we can't make it, can't do it on our own. And Jesus came. Here's the problem with affluency. Here's the problem with wealth. And we mentioned this yesterday. And wow, wasn't yesterday awesome to see these altars filled and people anointed. And we're believing God for testimonies, because with God, all things are possible. Amen? Yeah. Amen. This whole idea that Jesus comes to save all people, and that our biggest need is our need of God, and that it's hard for those of affluence, it's hard for self-made men, self-made women, it's hard for them to come to Christ. And Jesus said that it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Why? Because whenever we have affluence, we don't have a dependence upon someone else. We think that our money is our security. We don't realize how insecure that really is. Why is it when you go to a third world company, a country, and there's just masses of people that come and all kinds of miracles that take place? Well, I think one of the reasons is this, is they don't have anywhere else to look. If God doesn't do something, they're dying. And we seem like we've got all these options. And so God, help us to see how really poor we are. I'm glad that Jesus didn't come, first of all, to the rich. I'm glad he came to the poor, because we have a hard time going here down. But I think we can see a little bit of this coming up. We can grab a little bit of this. But thank God that he came to the lowly and common, because if he didn't, I wouldn't be standing before you today. Because my mom and dad, my dad was as low as they came. He was as rough as they came. He was as mean as they came. He used to say this when he'd preach. He'd say, "We don't search out our family tree because we're afraid of what we're going to find. What little bit we know, we're embarrassed of that. We don't want to know anything else." But this whole thought, Jesus came to such filth and to these lowly common men. And then here's this message. Here's what I want to close out with. Is here was this message to them. And it's this message to us. There's two words that just, when I read this, they jump off the page at me. And it's this. It's great joy. The good news, we talked about that in detail, and I'm not going to go back there. The good news is the best news, and the best news is the good news. It's the good news of great joy. Joy is what the gospel brings. It brings joy. Because joy lasts. Amen? And he brings something that lasts. What did we talk about when we talked about John the Baptist and talked about Jesus? And John baptizes Jesus. And when Jesus came up out of the water, it says that the Holy Spirit descended down on him. And the Holy Spirit, anybody remember the word, the Holy Spirit remained. Stayed with him. Can I tell you something? The joy of the Lord will stay with you. Amen. You don't have to live a roller coaster life. You don't have to live an up and down. You don't have to be on that pursuit of happiness that's elusive and always trying to find something to be the next high, to be the next mountain, to be the next adrenaline rush. You can find abiding joy. It's good news, and it's a shot of joy in your life. And then also this in verse number 14, here's another word that just always jumps out at me. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. Glory to God in the highest. I memorize it. Peace, goodwill towards men. Man is born as an adversary to God because we're in the sin nature. But God sent Jesus to come and to say what heaven was saying was this, was, I'm not mad. I'm not holding grudges. I'm not vindictive. Peace. Peace. I've come to bring peace. Peace with God, peace with man, peace with yourself. I love that. That is the gospel that was born in this lowly, common place. And the gospel that came out of that, you wouldn't think of it. It's filthy, it's dirty. But that's where God brings peace and joy. He brings it right out of the depths of despair and that which is unsanitary and that which is uncomely and that which we wouldn't look. But God has a way of bringing. How many of us said this? I never knew how good serving Jesus was. We didn't realize. I think of this. Think of how many people missed his first coming. They just missed it. Why? They couldn't imagine. Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Can any good thing be born in a stable? I mean, the message is to angels. And how many people missed his first coming? And I think of this. Well, how many people will miss his second coming? How many people will miss a second coming? Because they think it just has to be something else. It's not. It's this Christmas miracle. It's this Christmas story. Amen. Amen. Ben, join me, would you please? Father, thank you. Thank you. It's amazing. You left perfection and entered imperfection, personified, beyond. The perfect entered such an imperfect world. That which is clean entered such filth. But Lord, the story, the gospel story is that the filth didn't affect you, but you affected the filth. The unclean didn't affect you, but you affected the unclean. Lord, I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful that you are able to take the common and lowly. You're able to take the down and out, the up and out. And you bring into our lives through this gospel story, this gospel message, that Jesus, born of a virgin, came to earth, lived a sinless life, died on the cross of Calvary, and then was buried and then rose again. And that gospel message is one of great joy, literally transforms and gives us purpose in life, and it's one that gives us peace. A peace that passes all understanding. Father, I just want to thank you for the good news of great joy and for making peace. I thank you for this Christmas. Lord, I thank you for all those that's gathered on this night to sing something that was so amazing as we lifted our voices singing together Silent Night. Lord, something ran through my heart that this is so right, this is so good as the family of God. And Lord, I believe it's so right that we come to this table and we remember why you came to this earth. We remember the whole purpose of Jesus Christ and his life. And his sacrifice, the God-man making atonement, making sacrifice for our sins. Lord, I pray blessing over these moments as we worship and as we remember you. I love you and praise you. It's in Christ's name we pray these things. And everyone would say amen. Amen. I'd like those that are going to be at the tables, if they would prepare. And let me just give you a word of instruction here. I know there's a lot of us, but you see where the tables are, and that are in the back as well, one here on the sides. And I'm going to ask, usually during our communion time, you know, we come and we partake of communion right there. And just throw our cups away and go back and have a seat and worship. But I want us to do this tonight as a family. We're going to do it together. And so if you would take the cup and take the bread and then just walk back to your seats and hold those. If you have kids with you, help them get theirs. And we're going to sing and worship. And then we're going to partake of communion together. As a family, we serve open communion, which means you don't need to be a member of this church to partake in communion. But we always say we encourage you, you must be a member of the body of Christ. And the Bible also talks about eating and drinking unworthily. We're going to have some moments, so it's a good moment to have introspection and ask the Holy Spirit, search me. I don't want there to be anything in my life that separates or is a hindrance. God, help me. Let my heart, my attitude, let my actions be pleasing. Search me, oh God. Know me. And then We'll be seated, or we'll come back and you stand or be seated, and we'll partake. Amen. Let's stand together and encourage you. Go ahead and make your ways to the tables. Thank you. are the one. Amen. Amen. Father, I love you. I love you. Best I know how. I say that often, the best I know how. God, I hope I'm being honest with that statement. I hope I'm learning that I'm growing in my love. That my love is not an immature, selfish, self-serving, manipulative, but that it's grown through the years. I do love you. I trust you. And I admit that when I don't understand why some things happen the way they happen, those moments trying to work through and understand. God, I'm learning that love that says, God, I know you know best. I can trust you. There's no love without trust. I love you. I trust you. I trust you. Lord, I thank you for Christmas. Pastor Matt said it. There's nothing in the world, no celebration in the world for the church like Christmas and Easter. It's all about this atoning work. It's all about Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We're here tonight to focus on you, celebrate you. Give glory and honor to you. Jesus, thank you. Thank you. You saw it through. You saw it through. Yet not my will, but thy will. We remember you tonight. We hold these elements and we remember you. You said that when you take these, when you eat, drink at your table, to do this in remembrance of you. Jesus, we are remembering you. Thank you for your body. Thank you that you took on a body, that you took on flesh, that you became a man and was in all points tempted as we are, as I am, yet without sin. Thank you that you took on the form of a man and you identify with our struggle. You identify with our pains. Thank you for taking on the form of a body, being a man. And then, thank you for that body which was broken, that you sacrificed your body with the stripes that was placed upon your back and the crucifixion upon the cruel cross. I thank you tonight because you became a man and because your body was broken, that we can have wholeness, that we have a high priest that knows how we feel and is able to identify us with us. Thank you. Thank you. Because you became a man and you allowed your body to be broken, that tonight our broken bodies can be healed. Our broken bodies can be made whole. Our broken minds can be restored. We don't have to live fragmented, schizophrenic. But there's wholeness. There's peace in our mind. The crown of thorns placed on your head, your body broken. Lord, tonight we give you praise. Thank you. We remember Jesus. It's in Christ's name we pray this. Amen. Let's partake of the bread together. Jesus said, "This is my body which is broken for you. Eat this in remembrance of me." The Bible says, then he took the cup and he said, "This is my blood. This is the covenant, the new covenant in my blood." New covenant. Under the old law, there was a big old curtain. Foot wide, separated the Holy of Holies, the holy place. Only the high priest could go in where atonement for sin would be made. And so it wasn't personal relationship, but one guy would go in and make that sacrifice and come out and let everybody know that they were okay. But the new covenant is this. When Jesus died on the cross of Calvary, that curtain was rent in two. It was tore up and down and sideways. It was just literally ripped in shreds. Because there's no longer a barrier between us and God, and we don't go through a man, but the new covenant by the blood of Jesus. The Bible says the blood of Jesus speaks better things than that of Abel's. Abel's blood spoke of death, but Jesus' blood speaks of life. It's no longer through the blood of goats and bulls, but now through the blood of Jesus, we all have access into the Holy of Holies. We can talk with God Almighty through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Oh, so let's lift up this cup that represents the blood of Jesus. His blood shed for us, covers us, cleanses us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your blood, the sacrifice. Lord, this is why the virgin birth. This is why the incarnation. Because it couldn't be a man's blood. God's a spirit. So that God in Jesus took on flesh, became a man, so blood could be spilt, so blood could be shed to cover our sins, to atone for our sins. Your word says, the Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission, there's no cure for sin. But the cure for our sin problem is the blood of Jesus.